My name is Kevin Hankus. My book is Waiting, published by Green Willow Books, an imprint of HarperCollins. I cannot remember a time when I did not think of myself as an artist. And I think my mother started saving drawings of mine starting from the time I was 2. So I always identified myself as an artist.
Welcome to The Yarn, a school library journal production. I'm Colby Sharp. Today, we continue our Unraveler series with the legendary Kevin Hankus. I sat down with Kevin last summer in Orlando during the American Library Association's annual conference. In each Unraveler episode, a book creator takes us inside one of their books, their inspirations, fears, frustrations, triumphs, epiphanies, the whole thing pulled apart, unraveled. Today, Kevin talks about the initial idea for Waiting, what he learned creating the book, and he describes a typical day. Take it away, Kevin.
Waiting is the story of 5 figurines that are sitting on a windowsill. Each of them is waiting for something different. And one of them isn't waiting for anything in particular. And while they wait, the world passes by. I can't always pinpoint exactly how and when and where a book began, but I can with Waiting, I think. In 2006, I began going to my local clay studio. I would go weekly, and I didn't throw pots or bowls because I'm not very good at it. So I began hand building little sculptures, mostly of animals. And over time, the number of them grew. I made probably about 150 of them. Many I've given away as gifts, but most of them sit on the windowsills and the shelves in my studio. And the ones on the windowsill seemed to me one day to look as if they were waiting or looking out the window. And I think that was the initial spark. Originally, I thought I would photograph my figurines and do a book somehow that way. That changed, but that was the initial spark, was my hand-built sculptures on the windowsill. Well, next, I guess I had been thinking about an idea for a picture book, and I was thinking about the concept of waiting, thinking that waiting would be a great concept for a picture book for a kid, because kids seem to wait all the time. They wait in lines. They wait their turn. They wait for the end of the school day. They wait for lunch. They wait for the weekend. They wait to get a new sibling. They wait for their birthdays. They wait for holidays. They wait to graduate from their car seats. It just seemed to me that waiting was a part of their lives. And the word wait seemed to me to be just as present as yes and no. Is it my turn? Wait. Can we go now? Wait. So I was thinking about waiting, thinking about these figures on the windowsill, and then it really started meshing. And I thought, well, I will do 5 figurines. They will be on a window. They will be waiting for something. I didn't know what it was yet. And that's when I thought, as it was becoming more clear to me what the book would be, I decided that I'm much better at drawing and painting than I am at sculpting. And even though they would be fixed figures, I thought I could show a lot of emotion in how I tilted their heads or drew their eyes, and I could do that much more easily and with more grace, I think, than I could with clay. So then I tossed the idea of photographing them out the window, so to speak, and really began focusing then on, I'm going to be drawing this and painting this, and then the book developed from there. I guess I was trying to capture the feeling that when one is waiting for something, it almost feels as if one has stepped out of time and time becomes larger in a certain way. And I wanted to somehow show that visually. I decided pretty early on that I wanted the book to be very clean and open, have a lot of white space for a couple of reasons. I thought it just looked nice in terms of design, and it also, I thought, made the book more universal. I always imagined these figurines being owned and cared for and loved by a child. Originally, I thought I might show the hand of a child, or I might show the tail of a dog or a cat or a rug or wallpaper. But as the book developed, I got rid of everything to make it more universal. And I think by doing that, it also sort of heightened that feeling of heightened time. I mean, this is all there was. It was this window, these figures. It was what they were waiting for. That's it. I guess, if anything, I learned that each new book is sort of starting all over again. I always think that the next book will be easier, and that doesn't seem to be the case. And I had lots of struggles with this book. The first one was deciding to give up the clay figurines. That wasn't so hard. But then when I was trying to decide what I would use to create the art for the book, I had a very difficult time. I wanted to do something different. I wanted to somehow do something so that what was outside the window was done differently than what was inside the window. I ended up using colored pencil for everything that was outside of the window. And I used brown ink and watercolor paint in a very limited palette for what was inside. At one point, I had thought I would draw the figurines in the windowsill in pencil and have everything out the window be in color. But I didn't like what that implied. The implication said to me that what was beyond was better than what was in, and I didn't like what that meant. I tried so many different things. I tried using Sharpies. I tried using different colored ink for each character. I did a lot of trial and error. My trial and error period was very long. And I also had a hard time determining who the five figurines would be. The rabbit and the owl stayed the same, but originally the bear with the kite was a boy with a kite, the pig with the umbrella was a girl with an umbrella, and the puppy on the sled was a baby on the sled. And I went back and forth for weeks. Weeks turned into months. I even did a drawing of the five of them one way and the five of them another way. I would look at them every day. I sent them to my editor, Virginia Duncan, thinking she'll say, "Oh, do X." And she said, "You'll figure it out." Which was actually good advice, I think. And what I ended up doing was I imagined Virginia saying, "Oh, do the people." And then I imagined her saying, "Oh, I think you should do the animals." And I decided that doing all animals was what would make me happiest. I always write my books before I do any kind of drawing. I think I'm always thinking about the drawing. So I had the story, but even when I began the story, I still have my very first draft of the story. Just, I looked at it before I left home. It just said, boy, kite, wind, girl, umbrella, rain, baby, sled, snow. So I had three. I think I had rooster, sun, owl, moon. And that's what I began with. I mean, I was trying to figure out who was waiting, what they were waiting for. So that's how I began. And then I wrote the story. And then I spent a lot of time, like I said, trying to figure out, will they be animals? Will they be people? How will that work? But I always try to get the text exactly right before I begin working on pictures. My youngest just finished her senior year of high school, so my typical day is going to change next year for sure. But my typical day up until this point would be I would get up early, I would eat breakfast with our daughter, and then as soon as she would go to school, I would either go to the gym or get right to work. I will work all day. I take a break at lunch, do something to get out of myself and my head and my studio, then go back and work. And I would usually end my day when school was out. And even though, you know, our daughter's a teenager, and I don't think she would feel as if she needed me when she came home from school, but I still like to be available and not consumed with my work. So I would end, you know, at that time of day, take a break, you know, have dinner, and often go back then after dinner and work again until bedtime.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Yarn. Thank you to Philip Stead for creating our theme song. Additional music for this episode comes from the Free Music Archive. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe to our show wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have an idea for an episode or a season of The Yarn, shoot us an email, theyarnpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Colby Sharp. Thanks for listening.